wake up. That is the message of the Bhagavad Gita. That's what Krishna keeps telling us throughout the 18 chapters, that we need to wake up. We are all asleep and we need to wake up. What is this waking up? That's what he says here, awake. What exactly are we waking up to, and why are we asleep? We are all awake, but in Krishna's eyes we are all asleep. The sleep of ignorance. In the Kathopanishad it says very beautifully, Utishtha jagrita prapya vaya nubodhitaha. So he says, get up and wake up. And so he says, this is strange. You know, why is he saying, first saying get up, stand up and then wake up? You know, mostly it's when you're sleeping, you wake up first and then you stand up. But the Kathopanishad says, no, the teacher says, get up, stand up and then wake up. Swami Vivekananda translates this very beautifully. He says, get up and wake up, and prapya nibodhita means do not stop until the goal is reached. But why this different combination? Why are they wanting us to stand up first and then wake up afterwards? Because we are all sleeping in the sleep of tamas, of ignorance. That is our state. And so the teacher is telling us when he says stand up, what the teacher means is go into rajas, get up and start working. Start working from ignorance, from laziness, at least get up and start working. Even if you're working selfishly, even if you're working for yourself and your family, that's good. At least you're not lazy, you're not dependent. But then do not just be satisfied with just working, but wake up to that higher truth. Because that is the goal of human birth. Because until you wake up, your life is incomplete. You will be living a life of ignorance, a life of foolishness. We say, well, you know, this world is fine as long as I'm doing my work and I'm succeeding and I'm achieving. What's wrong with that? And that's why last week we heard this beautiful example of the upside down tree. Urdhva mulam adash shakham ashvattham prahuravyayam. So he says this ashwatha, this tree which will not be the same tomorrow, which is the world, which is a changing world, has roots above and branches below. But when he says roots above, he means the creator, the Lord, the unmanifest, because the roots are unmanifest in a tree and the tree is manifest. The roots we don't see, which are underground. But the tree you can see because it's manifest. So here also when he says urdhva mulam adash shakam, the roots are above, it means the Lord, the creator, Brahman, the consciousness is higher, is above us. Of course he is everywhere, but when we say higher, we mean in a hierarchy. Like we say high command, or the president is higher than the secretary. The secretary is higher than the routine member of the committee. So when we say higher, it means the highest, that is above and that is unmanifest, that is not known to us. And the tree is manifest. The tree is this whole world of plurality that we see, this changing world of humans and plants and birds and animals. And that tree we can perceive, we can see. Chandamsi yasya parnani, and the Vedas are its nourisher, the knowledge is the nourisher, and one who knows, he knows it. Now there was one word he says, avyayam, adascha mulam, udva mulam, adas shakam, ashvattham, prahu, avyayam. This world is called avyayam. Why is it called avyayam? Avya means that which is permanent, that which is not changing. So we say, well, the world is changing. You just said the world is changing, and why do you call it avyayam? What the rishi means when he says avyayam, or when he means eternal, is that compared to us, this world is eternal. Like, say my life is only going to be 70 or 80 or 90 years, but this tree of world has been there for billions of years. You know, when the Big Bang started, the tree first started, and is there, and even after we are gone, this world will continue for another few billion years when the pralay comes, when the world ends, when all the stars run out of energy and it all collapses into this big black hole. So compared to my life, just as the peepal tree, as we had studied last week, that one that is in Calcutta is 750 years old and has been growing, and for it's a mile and a half in size. So compared to my life of 60 or 70, 750 seems a lot, but the billions of years that this tree of existence will be around, so that's why this. So when we say tree, it's not that you look for a tree upside down, you know, with that. The idea is it's in mystical language, as Gurudev in his commentary says. The idea is not to take the words literally, but what the teacher is doing, that which is known to us, from the known, he's taking us to the unknown. I know the tree, I know the roots, I know how it spreads, I know the branches. So from that simile, the teacher is taking us to the unknown, that which I do not know, the Brahman, the consciousness, who is the root, and from him came this whole universe. So pay attention to the root, not to the branches. But what we do is we get stuck on the branches. We get stuck in the world, and we see the world looks very beautiful, and we get caught in it. But there are a few other points that Swami Chinmayananda covers in his commentary. So the tree has many, many meanings from it, and the unmanifest and manifest has many interpretations that we were not able to cover last week because we went into a lot of detail. Now the unmanifest is the Lord, right? And from him came the whole universe. So similarly, where does the tree arise from? The tree arises from the earth. The roots grow in the earth, and the earth provides the nutrition, and from the nutrition the tree gets its nutrition and it grows. Now what type of tree will grow? The earth is the same. The earth is the same everywhere, all over the world. But what kind of tree will you get? Suppose you put a mango seed, what will you get? Sweet mango. Suppose you put a sour lemon, you will get sour fruit. You're not going to get the sweet melon. Suppose you put a bitter gourd, you know, there is a bitter fruit, they call it bitter gourd, which a lot of people in India eat. Very bitter fruit. If you plant that, you're going to get bitter fruit. You're not going to get a sweet. And suppose somebody accidentally drops a seed of poison ivy. What is he going to get? He's going to get poison ivy, which you touch it, you can get rash, you can even die. So it's not that the earth is blessing the mango tree and gracing it more and then cursing the poison ivy or the bitter gourd. No, the earth says, I provide my nutrition to all universally. Mother Earth nourishes all of us. But it is up to me what I get from the Mother Earth. Do I want to get a sweet mango, or I want to get a sour lemon? I want to get a bitter fruit, or do I want to get poison? So the kind of seed I plant determines the kind of fruit I will get. So similarly, the Lord is the same for all. He does not bless anybody selectively. It's not that he blesses the saints and he curses the sinners. He says, my energy is available to everybody. It is up to you what you want to take from me. The Lord being unmanifest, being like the earth, like the support of this whole universe and the nourisher, depending on my vasanas, depending on my tendencies, depending on my desires, I get the fruit. If I want to get sweet fruits from this world, okay, I plant sweet seeds, I'll get sweet fruit. So if your vasanas are sweet, they're sattvic, they're meritorious, what will happen? You'll get sweet results. You say, but I am suffering so much, you know, I didn't do anything bad, why am I getting a bitter life? Well, either you planted bitter seeds in this life or in a previous life, because whatever karmas you have done, you cannot escape them. Whether it's good karmas or bad karmas, they cannot be escaped. And regardless of what happens, you will sow the fruits of your actions. So whether I get sweet results in this life, whether I get bitter results, whether I get sour or whether I get poisonous, all depends on my own action, is determined by my own actions. I cannot blame the Lord. I cannot say, you know, why there are saints in the world and why there are sinners. God, you made this world. Why are people so horrible? You know, why people kill each other? Why are there rapists and murderers and child molesters? He says, I didn't do anything. Lord says, I don't do anything. I don't do anything. All I do is just provide the energy. I provide and I give you life. And then what you do with your life is your choice. And then you reap the results of the. Just as you get a sweet mango or you get a bitter fruit, you get the results of your seed. So depending on your vasanas, depending on your desires, you reap the fruit. So there is nobody else to blame except me and me alone. And nobody else to thank also. Of course, when you have good results, it's always good to thank the Lord, because otherwise you get an ego, you know, I am doing so good. So be thankful to the Lord that you are the one for whom, you know, because of whom everything is happening. But inside, we know that the Lord is the giver and it is up to me, what do I take? The other aspect of this tree and the roots, which we'll cover in little more detail later on, but that the roots are permanent, right? The root is permanent. Suppose the tree is in the ground. Okay, forget about the upside down tree. Let's go to the traditional tree, which is in the ground, and there is a huge oak, big, powerful tree. The root, the tree is so heavy, so big. What is holding it? It's the roots. You know, it doesn't topple over because the roots are so strong and so deep. Not only that, the roots are permanent. Suppose a big storm comes. Terrible storm or the wind comes, it can knock over the tree. You know, tree can be knocked over, but the roots cannot be. You try to pull them, you cannot. The fire may burn the trees, but the roots cannot be burned. So the idea is that the root, being the Lord, is permanent. Everything in this earth is temporary. Whatever in this world you see is temporary. Everything has a beginning, has an end. Is changing. And what our problem is that we hold on to the temporary and then expect permanent happiness. I hold on to this changing world and I think my husband should give me happiness, or my child should give me, or my job or my money or my house. But these are all changing. The jobs are changing, people are changing, situations are changing. So do not depend on happiness on temporary things. Look for the permanent. That which is unchanging, that which will never be burned, the roots which are the source, the root of everything. Because everything changes. You know, if this building was not there a few years ago, it is there. And then maybe in a few years, if a building gets old, you know, we may demolish it and make it bigger if we outgrow it or whatever. My lecture, you know, has a beginning. We began at 11. Hopefully it will end. But suppose it doesn't, you know. There's supposed to be an end at 12:15, you know, the time is over, but I still keep on talking, and then the aarti is going on and I'm still talking, and then people go out from the side and they're eating lunch and you can smell the food and I am still talking. Then, you know, one will tell another, when is this lecture going to end? So other guys, I was thinking the same thing. And then somebody will start looking at their watch and start shaking it. You know, if the watch is stopped. So thankfully, that's not going to happen. So everything in this world has a beginning and an end. So that is what we have to constantly remember. Do not depend on the temporary. Temporary can only give you temporary happiness. You have to go to the root of this world. Go to the source. Go from where you came. That is my true nature. That is what I really am. That is where I originated from. That is where I get my nourishment. Whatever I do, it is because of the Lord's presence within. The fact that I'm speaking right now, because the Lord is in me. Otherwise, I wouldn't be. Whatever knowledge little I have, it's from Lord and from the Guru, the teacher. And that is because of that, you know, I am able to communicate. So pay attention to the permanent and remember that this world will only give you what you put in. You put in good, your results will be good. You put in bad, the results will be bad. This tree example is so beautiful. Gurudev talks and talks for hours, you know, and even other commentaries. So there is so much. So we'll go more into detail. It's a masterful example. I mean, the Lord's vision is so beautiful, this 15th chapter. So let's go to the second verse where the tree example is continued. Adashchordvam prasritastasya shakaha. Guna pravriddha vishaya pravalaha. Guna pravriddha vishaya pravalaha. अधश्च मूलान्यनु संततानि कर्मानुबंधीनि मनुष्यलोके सो अध च ऊर्ध्वम्. Adha means below, urdhva means above. So below and above, cha means and, below and above, prasrita, prasrita, spread, tasya shakha, tasya who's of that tree, tasya, that tree, its branches are spread, prasrita, above and below. And how are the branches nourished? What nourishes the branches? Guna pravritha. Guna means the vasanas. The vasanas, the gunas, the sattva, rajas and tamas. They nourish these branches, Vishaya Pravalaha, and they are, and the buds are its sense, the sense organs and the sense objects. The sense objects are its buds, not the sense organs, Vishaya, the sense objects. So the sense objects are the buds, these roots which are spread above and down below are nourished by the vasanas. And then he says, Adascha Mulan Yanu Santatani, and these branches which are spread out, these roots, now it's not, no longer he's talking about the branches, he's talking about the additional roots. Adascha, other additional roots, yanu santatani, they are spread, and how are they held on to the ground? Karmanubandini, by the karmas we are bound. So it's a very, very beautiful verse. I'll talk about the tree and then we'll transfer it to our life. So he says in the tree, if you look at, okay, we are not talking about upside down tree, forget that. Let's talk about the traditional tree that you are used to seeing. You say, okay, I that upside down tree confuses me. Talk about the regular tree. Krishna says, okay, I'll talk about the regular tree. The regular tree has roots in the ground and branches above. Okay, that's good. Now it's interesting that as the branches spread, some branches go downward and other branches go upward. You know, in the tree, you will see not all the branches are horizontal. Some are going down, some are going up. And here it says they're nourished by the gunas. That is about talking about us. And Vishaya are the buds. Because the tree is nourished by the roots, right? By the roots are nourishing the tree. And there are buds. Buds are where there is a branch and which is dividing, there are buds. Buds are like unmanifest branches, and when the right circumstances come, these buds again proliferate and create more branches. So he says sense objects are its buds. And interestingly, what happens, especially if you see the peepal tree, the ficus religiosa, like we talked about, in that is there in Calcutta, in many places you see that, it's very interesting. Initially what happens, the tree grows and the branches go to the side. Now, after some time, the tree wants to grow further, right? Now, this one root is not enough for this tree to nourish. He said, I'm not satisfied. I want to grow further. Like that one, I said, is a mile and a half long. How could it do that? The one root cannot nourish for 1.5 miles. So what happens is the branch goes further and then a new subsidiary root comes out, a secondary root. And that goes from the branch, goes downward and hangs on to the ground and becomes, anchors itself. And so a new root arises. And then a new tree comes, new trunk. And from that tree, the tree grows further. And then another trunk and another trunk. So there are hundreds of roots and hundreds of trunks from which all these branches. And then you actually don't even know which was the original. You cannot tell unless you can age it, you know, with carbon aging and all. You can actually check the wood and see which was the original. But by looking at that particular tree in Calcutta, which is 1.5 miles long, you don't know where it started. Where did the tree start? So it says, so that is the kind of tree which is held in the ground by the subsidiary roots. So let us translate that into our life. It says that adaschordvam prasritastasya shaka, the branches of the tree go up and go down. And in our life we also see that we have certain tendencies that take us upward and certain tendencies which take us downward. Downward means you get down to the world of objects, emotions and thoughts. I am attached. to the world, I get bound, and then I get, you know, desire, and then selfishness and greed and anger, all those tendencies, and they take me downward. And there are very few, when most of us are involved in this world, so involved, you know, acquiring, possessing, sharing, loss, profit, gain, success, failure, all the time we are so involved that we don't, people say, you know, marne ki bhi fursat nahi hai, bhagwan ke bare mein kaun sochega, you know, I don't even have time to die, you know, where do I have time to meditate and think about God? That's a very famous phrase, you know, you ask somebody, kya hal hai? Are marne ki bhi fursat nahi. I'm so busy, I don't even have time to die. So most of us are just totally involved in the world and just going downward, you know, attached and wanting and possessing. And then we do anything to get it, whether we have to lie or cheat or hurt others. So it says that turn your attention upward. Upward means turn your attention to the Lord. Let the branches of your tree go upward. Let them acquire and possess, you know, the higher. Let them get what is... What the Vedas then tell us, what the Upanishads tell us is your goal of life, becoming one with the Lord. So wake up to that, move up to that, and let not your life just be a downward spiral of acquiring and possessing. Let your life go upward, let it evolve. Let us, you know, we came from protozoa to, you know, fish, to animal, to bird, and to human. Let us evolve to the sainthood. Let us become a superhuman. Let us evolve. Let us not just spend our life again, endlessly in this human birth. Let us do something with our life. So he says, grow upward. And it is the gunas which nourish these branches. These branches of my life are nourished by my gunas. Because these vasanas which we have, which can be sattvic, rajasic or tamasic. So if I have tamasic vasanas, then that will nourish my life, and then I'll become lazy, indifferent, you know, useless person. If I have a lot of rajas, then I'll work hard and acquire and possess and live a life of, you know, worldly success, and which is good, nothing wrong, but then it leads to selfishness, leads to arrogance, leads to pride, leads to ego. So it says from rajas, you have to evolve to sattva, where make your life pure, make your life devoted to God, live a life of unselfishness, live a life of service. Whatever you acquire, be grateful to the Lord and then share it with the world. So he says those are the kind of gunas that will nourish your life. So whether you have sattva or rajas or tamas, that will determine your life. And Vishaya Pravala, and the sense objects are its birds. And this is a beautiful phrase. I'll spend some time talking about senses. Now birds, as we had mentioned, when the right occasion comes, that the bud is between the branch and the trunk, there is an angle, immediately it grows into a new branch. And, or as in the case of the peepal tree, it goes downwards and get attached. We'll talk about later. So, the sense organs are all the time looking for sense objects. The eyes want to see, the ears want to hear, the nose wants to smell, the tongue wants to taste and eat, and the skin wants to touch. So I want to see, hear, smell, taste and touch. And the sense organs are all the time looking outward. You know, how can I see more? How can I hear more? How can I possess more? How can I eat more? And how can I, you know... And so the sense organ is like a man sitting with the binoculars, you know, on his patio, and he's watching outside. Okay, where, what is happening? So that is how we are with our life, and all the time looking outward, you know. If we have nothing else to do, just pick up the computer and just surf the net uselessly. You know, just look at, I'm also guilty, look at the phone and just uselessly looking for things, just wasting our time, you know, and especially the phone is such an addiction. People don't, if two people are talking, you find in a restaurant, each one is in his own phone texting somebody or talking. They're not talking to the live person at dinner. And they're talking to somebody else or checking their email. Wife is talking and husband is, you know. It is so bad. Why? Because our senses are all the time looking outward. And the more you look outward, what happens is that we have limited energy. We have limited pranas in all of us. It's not an unlimited source of energy. And our pranas the more you use them outward, the more they get depleted. And people, we find that people spend hours worrying about food. What am I going to eat? What am I going to cook? What restaurant? People are so addicted with food. In fact, I have a very good friend. This is a true story. I'm not making up. He's very rich and lives in San Francisco. And he loves food so much that he will actually fly to a different city. He will fly in the morning, have dinner in that, make reservation. It could be a Phoenix, or it could be in Los Angeles or Hollywood or Beverly Hills. He lives and almost one or two weekends a month, he's going to a different city. Why? Because, oh, in Chicago, that particular restaurant I have to eat. I mean, he has enough money, he can, but what is kind of a life is that? You know, your whole life is oriented towards food. And that's what we do. We worry about, you haven't even finished lunch, dinner mein kya banana hai. You know, we are so worried about it, you know, all the time, or eating or preparing. So he says, theek hai, food is important, but you don't have to devote all your energy to food, or others are looking, you know, 6 hours, 8 hours, 10 hours of TV every day. Our kids, our teenage, used to be TV when our kids were growing up. Now it's the internet, the computer. Eyes are constantly looking out and useless things. You know, that's why in one bhajan it says, if they want to see something, let them see the Lord's form. Oh, eyes, they're only useful if I see you, Bhagwan. My ears are only useful if I listen to your bhajans, if I listen to your stories. My hands are only useful if they go out and serve you. My feet are only useful if they walk to your temple. So the idea being that my sense organs should not be just used just for seeing things, but see good things. Read good books. We sit down, if you have extra time, read the Bhagavad Gita. Swamiji has given such beautiful commentary. Sit down and read it. And listen to good things. You know, otherwise some people for hours on end, they are just listening to this music. You know, they are, especially these teenagers, kids, all the time they have these earphones. Not only even youngsters, I find people in the gym, they're working out and they still have earphones. And when you're in the gym workout, isn't that guy who comes? Yeah, so what is the point of that? You have so many hours of the day. If you want to listen to his bhajans, listen to good lectures. You know, we have Swamiji's here. We have so many beautiful talks on the internet. You can listen to those. So he says that do not let your senses be wasted in this. He says, oh, you mean to say then we should stop hearing? You know, like Gandhiji, see no evil, hear no evil, speak. Should I live like that with my eyes closed and ears closed and walk around in the world? No, we are not saying that. You can't do that. To function in the world, you have to have your eyes open, your ears open, you have to taste, you have to eat. But be selective. You know, in eating, I should eat what is healthy, I should eat what is nourishing. Seeing, I should be selective. In the Gita, there is a very beautiful verse in the second chapter. He says about the wise man, Sthita Prajna Purusha Lakshanani. He says, Yada Samharate Chayam Kurmonga Niva Sarvasha Indriyani Indriyarthebhyah Tasya Prajna Pratishthitaha. He says the wise person works in the world. He moves around in the world, but it's like the turtle, like the tortoise. You know, if you know the turtle, what happens is he's walking around and suddenly he senses danger. He pulls all his limbs into his shell because the shell is hard. So if there is some animal that might attack him, he'll pull his head, he'll pull his arms, feet into that shell and he's protected. And when the danger goes away, then he can pull out and move away because the animal cannot attack the shell. Only it can do is kill him. So similarly, a wise person moves in the world like a turtle. When there are sense things in his eyes that are going to take him away from the truth, or his ears, if there is any danger, if he's hearing some gossip or some useless, you know, conversation, or he's seeing something that is wrong or seeing something that he doesn't need to see, he just withdraws his sense organs inside. He withdraws inside like the turtle. And then when that situation has passed, then he says, okay, the idea being that he may be in the presence of these, but his mind is not caught up in that. His mind is always centered within, in the Lord's presence within. And so he's very selective. He's very choosy about what he sees. That's why they say the mind is like a computer. You know, they say garbage in and garbage out. If you put wrong data in the computer, the computer will produce wrong results. The computer is not going to, computer can only do what data you feed in. If you feed good data, you will get good results. So similarly, the mind is like a computer. What you've put in there, that is what will come out. So you put in good things, you will get good things output. If you put in nonsense, you will get nonsense output. So it says be very selective about what you do with your senses. Your senses are to be controlled. Actually, there is a term called will quotient. You know, there is intelligence quotient, IQ. IQ, intelligence. So there is a will quotient. How strong is your will? Not how high is your IQ. How strong is your will? And one has to develop a willpower and then be firm. Okay, for my spiritual growth, this is not beneficial. I'll drop it. Anything that is an obstacle in my spiritual path, I should instantly be able to drop. And no matter what kind of temptations come, because the world is very tempting. The whole universe is designed to tempt us. You know, on the TV, if you put on, there's all these new foods that are coming out. And then new cars, you know, new cars, models. And then if you put on this Indian channel, they have all this jewelry, you know, all this, the pizza. Famous pizza, yeah. And then this famous store, you know, what is that Bindi Jewelers. Yeah, and he's, you know, all these models with this beautiful new jewelry and then new saris, you know, these girls wearing. So the world is all the time tempting you, you know, go out and get it, go out and get it. Their life is incomplete. You know, if you don't have this, you are useless. If you don't have this latest model of the car, or in the kids' case, you know, the latest shoes. I remember when our kids were growing up, Michael Jordan shoes, you know, they were like $180. And they are not any better than the $18 you get in Big Five. They're exactly the same, but it's 10 times worse. Why? Because Michael Jordan wears them. And kids have to have them. You know, if they go to school without Michael Jordan shoes, what? All the kids will make fun of me. And maybe kid do Michael Jordan, we do other things, you know. People will go to India. They'll say, what did you buy? Oh, I went to the store. I bought 30 Kanjivaram silk saris. And then every party, she's wearing a new one. For what? You know, so that is what we are doing. We are just satisfying our senses. We are just nourishing our senses. Senses are like the buds. The moment the right situation comes, the moment you go to a sari store or a jewelry store, your senses run out. And for men, it could be anything else. It could be golf, or it could be a car, or it could be... So it says, control your senses with your willpower. Don't let them run your life. And then he says, adascha mulan yanu santatani karmanu bandhini manushya loke. It is these, as I said, these subsidiary branches which go downward and get attached to the ground. So similarly, our actions take us downward and then bind us, just as the new root gets attached so firmly that you cannot uproot it. So similarly, our mind get so attached to action, just to working and doing. And people are, especially men, we find they're so workaholics. You know, they just work from morning to night. And if they have their own business, they'll be there 16 hours a day, 18 hours a day. They never have time for their family, for their kids. And then you tell them, you know, and soon the kids grow up and they leave. I remember one of my friends in Los Angeles, he says, you know, I feel so bad. He says, I have 3 sons. They don't even know me. Why? Because when they were young, he was working. You know, he had a job and then he had a 7-Eleven and he had a motel and he never had time. And then his relatives would be coming from India. You know, Gujaratis, they always have that lot of relatives coming all the time, living with them. And this is good. You help them to grow, to settle. But he said, in the process, I never had time for my sons. And my 3 sons are all grown up. They are, you know, and they don't even know me. They don't even acknowledge. They don't even call. Why? Because when they were young, you didn't have time for them. So when you don't have time for them, then when they grow up, now they have their own family and all, they're not going to have time for you. So they say that we get so bound with our actions, so attached to them, that we forget what are the important things in life. What is important is the children. What is important is your spiritual growth. What is important is the family. So in this manushya loke, in this world, people are attached to actions. They get bound by actions, and then ultimately the action binds them so strongly that they can't get out. You know, you say, tell a person, you need to stop working. You know, you need to spend time, come to the Gita class, or come to the Swamiji, come to lecture, or spend time with your children. Say, you know what, my work, I have spread so much. I have a business factory here, and then I have a business there. And then he's traveling one time to San Luis Obispo, and second time to Washington, and then he has a new branch in Hong Kong. We just keep expanding our work. And you ask him, do you need more money? No, I have more than enough money for even 7 generations. You know, saat pushta tak kha sakte. But he'll just keep on working. Why? Because he's bound. He doesn't know anything else. He says, I don't know anything else except work. So the work becomes a bondage instead of you controlling the work. So they say you control the life. You determine what is what you want to do, what you don't want to do. You decide what is right, what is wrong. You pick your priorities. You choose your goal. And then with your willpower, work towards that goal. And then evolve your life upward. Do not go downward. Do not get more and more attached, more and more bound. But free yourself from this ignorance. And as we said in the beginning of the class, wake up. Waking up is not, you know, like a saint. You ask him, like Buddha. Somebody asked him, Buddha, are you a saint? He said, no. And somebody asked him, are you a prophet? He said, no. He said, then what are you? Buddha said, I'm awake. That's all he was. The word Buddha means the knowledgeable one. So he had acquired the right knowledge and woken up to his higher state of the nirvana. That is what we have to do. Function in the world, you have to. You know, this human life is the only way to evolve to the higher. You cannot say that after this life I will grow. No, this life is the only opportunity to grow. So work. But work for your own spiritual upliftment. So that is this example of this tree. As I said, we can go on and on, on and on. But let us pause here. If any comments, any questions. And then we shall talk about how. Because it sounds like a very pessimistic. You know, we are attached, we are bound, and we are caught, and our vasanas, and karmas. So how do we get out? Krishna does give us the explanation. What shall I say? An escape does give us how to get out, but let us see if anybody has any comments so far. Yes?
Did you say that we only have so many pranas? Did you mean in a day or did you mean in our life?
No, our pranic energy, the energy within us is limited. I don't mean prana, I don't mean breaths. Of course, the breaths are also limited, the are counted. But what I meant is the pranic energy, you know, the energy within us is limited. You don't, like at the end of the day, after you've been working hard, don't you feel exhausted?
Right, but I mean like for a lifetime, is it a certain...
No, but each day you are draining out, and then you sleep, and then you nourish it again, and then again you exhaust. Yeah, and as you get older, your pranic energy does diminish. As suppose a 70 or 80-year-old person, or he cannot climb like you can. He cannot work like you can. So yeah, our energy reduces. So we have limited energy, pranic energy. Pranas does not only mean breath. What I mean is the energy you have. So don't waste it. Utilize it. Because at the end of the day, you will get exhausted, right? You lose your energy. Then you sleep and then you rejuvenate. Also at the end, as your life ends, your energy gets less and less. You have less and less ability to work. So don't waste your effort. Even we find in people in old age, they are worried about useless things. What is my son doing? And what is my grandson doing? And why is he not waking up early? And why does my son not say anything? And you are at the age of 75 or 80. You should be remembering God. You just stay in their house and don't interfere. You know, let the children and grandchildren do. You have already finished your life. You have taken care of your children. Whatever limited time, whatever work you can help in the house, help. Aside from that, Bhagwan ka naam lo, remember the Lord and just read the Gita. And why do you have to worry about interfere in their life? All it's going to do is create resentment. They'll say, why is grandma questioning me? Or why is grandpa asking? Let them do what they want. If they ask for advice, give it. But don't waste your energy in useless things which are unproductive. So that is the idea.
Negative energy actually drains you faster.
Mm-hmm. yeah, whatever, yeah, in the world there's a lot of negative energy and we feed off of that. Yeah, we so be selective. Yeah, that's a good point. Thank you.